Blog Talk Radio.
That light has come, the glory of Yah has risen up on his sons and his daughters. The darkness is uncovered, pull sheets up of our lovers, we're perverted till we burn. So now it's time to return back to Yah, our city, your refuge, the fountains of living waters. This showers me with righteousness, restores my order, and turns this song to a king, a song for my soul to sing. That brought me down very low, my garments white like the wings. Shaddaiah, praise be the Most High, that brought me out of his sanity, crushed the towers of vanity, and made a man of me. I'm now asking for a key, no longer my refugee. I'm now Yah's planet.
We don't march to the city of God. We don't march to the city of God. We don't dance, we don't sleep. We don't run to the city, run to the city. We don't fly to the city of God. We don't march to the city of God.
A thousand meters rough, measure waters came to your ankle. The method did repeat, waters came right to your knee. Before you further Joe goings, waters came to your loins. A thousand measures and the last, a river you could not pass. Everything that touched the waters was healed. Plenty of your fish left to swim. There was meat from the trees, nourished the bodies from leaves. The vision I seen was more than a dream. Waters flow on sides of sanctuary. My heart had joy and merit. I'm renovating my soul until we make it home. Foolish sins forever gone. Your spirit resting on my bones. Brothers and sisters, you with me. Let's purge ourselves really quickly. Make our souls polish this 50 so we home.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Welcome again to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I'll be your host this evening. I am Moray Ishah Yisrael from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. We will say, and we like to say shalom to everyone that has tuned in from our internet audience, for we know that the only reason that you have tuned in to us is because of your great fear and great love toward the mighty Yah. And as I said, we will bring you nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth of Yahweh. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, and the only redeemer of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the Elohim of all powers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel, our ancestors. We are the children of Israel, the Hebrews of the Holy Scriptures. We are Yahweh's people. Hallelujah. And the last time I talked, I was dealing with our story. And we got two more installments to go for our story. And we're going to continue that today. This is part four of our story. And whose story? The story of Yahweh's servants, the Hebrews. Because what we have learned in captivity that has lasted nearly 400 years is that we haven't learned about us at all. We have been taken away from us. And you'll find this in our story. If you look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, very profound scripture here. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 28. It's Deuteronomy 28, verse 28. And it reads, Yahweh shall smite thee with madness. Now, why? Why does Yahweh smite us with madness? If you go up to verse 15, it says, but it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken, if you will not obey, if you will not listen, if you will not hear, if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So we don't listen to the Creator, if we don't pay him no mind, if we don't give Yahweh his just due, if we do not obey Yahweh, then all these curses are going to come upon us, the blessing and the curse that he has spoken of, if we don't do what Yahweh said that we should do. And part of that is in Deuteronomy 28, verse 28, where it says, he shall smite thee with madness. And what is madness? Madness, see, years ago they used this word mad. Nowadays, mad is used a little different. But years ago, mad meant crazy. Oh, he's gone mad. I mean, he's gone crazy. So when Yahweh says that one of the curses of not obeying him is that we will be smited with madness, meaning you will be smited with craziness. You will literally have gone crazy. Yes, Yahweh said he's going to make you go crazy. And has Yahweh not made us crazy? Hold that. And look in the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes. Verse 7. Where it reads, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Crazy. Oppression will make you go crazy. Even if you're wise, if you're oppressed, it will make you go crazy. Even if you're wise, even if you're enlightened, even if you're smart, you have wisdom. If you're oppressed, it will make you go crazy. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Crazy. Back to Deuteronomy 28. In 28. Yahweh will smite thee with madness. You will be smited with craziness. You're going to go crazy. And what is crazy? We think crazy is crazy. But no, crazy means confusion. That's what crazy is. A state of confusion. Meaning you're not in order. You're out of order. You're not organized. You're disorganized. You're unorganized. Everything all over the place. That's crazy. You will not be orderly. If you mad, why do you think our people don't know Yahweh's order today? In our story, the Hebrew story, the truth of the Hebrew story, it's all about order. Yahweh says he will be smited with madness and in addition to madness. So in addition to you, and I being crazy, confused, out of order, you'll be smited with blindness, meaning you cannot see. Wisdom is light. If you're blind, you will have wisdom. You're not wise, you're a crazy fool. And more so, not just craziness and foolishness, but astonishment of heart, which means everything will be easy. Everything. You're just taken by everything. Oh, a fool believes every word. You will be completely ignorant. Yahweh says you go against him, he'll take away your order and make you go crazy. He'll take away your wisdom and make you go blind. And he'll take away your sense and make you astonished at everything. You don't have any sense. Start shooting a star. Whoa. You shoot a star on the third night of the fourth week after I met you. You're astonished at everything. Everything got you going. Everything. And that's called being ignorant. That's called being foolish. That's called being disordered, crazy, and blind. And that's part of our story today. But it was prophesied that we would be like this. It's prophesied that we would be all out of our mind. It's prophesied that we won't have order. It's prophesied that we won't know up from down, left from right, and day from night. It's prophesied. Because we have turned from Yahweh. Yahweh made the light. If you turn from the one that made the light, how you going to know the light? And go to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, first verse. In Isaiah 53, verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. It reads, "Who has believed our report, our story? Who has believed our story? Who has believed our report, our account, our witnesses? And to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed?" Who is going to believe this? Believe what? What is it about our story that we want to know who's going to believe? That Yahweh had his servant say, "Who had believed our report?" What is it? He said, Yahweh has smited us with complete and utter foolishness. And if you go to the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, so we can clarify, recap, and move forward on what it is about our story that we're dealing with today, and how we're going to examine the smiting of craziness, which I already let you know to be mad. Madness means crazy, and crazy means being out of order. It don't take much to go crazy. Just be out of order and you go crazy. I know people that if things are out of order in their house, they go crazy. Because things are out of order. And they don't need to be in order. In Genesis 15:13, it says, "And he said unto Abram, know for surety," who's Abram? Abram is Abraham. Yahweh's friend, your father. That's who Abram is. "And he said unto Abraham," who's he? Yahweh, the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that in them is. "And he said unto Abraham, know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them oppressed." Get it clear. When another nation is afflicting you, they're oppressing you. They're holding you down. That's what affliction is. To come low. To be held low. To be down. "And they shall afflict them." And what's oppressed? That's what oppression is. To be held down. As the old saying goes, "My man always got his foot on my neck." "They shall serve them." So not only do they got to work for them, not only does Abraham's seed have to work for this nation that they have gone into, this land that they have gone into, that don't belong to them, meaning it ain't their land. It ain't where they from. Not their ancestral inheritance. Not a land in which they grew up on. Not a land in which they own. Not a land in which they conquered. It's a land that is not theirs. Know a lot of people don't want to leave America or the Western Hemisphere. They want to go into Mexico, South America, and America even. But no, you're brought into a land that is not yours. You shall serve them, work for them, be their servants, and afflict them, meaning you're oppressed. You're oppressed by them. 400 years, and this is our story. Where else do you find this account? Anywhere. Nowhere. The mighty Yah gave this vision and this dream to Abraham. He didn't give it to Mahatma Gandhi. He didn't give it to Muhammad. He didn't give it to Christ. He didn't give it to Napoleon. He didn't give it to Nostradamus. He gave it to Abraham. And he only gave it to Abraham. And the account of it is in only one book, the Holy Scripture, which lets you know if a country, as this country, America, United States, the very country in which we came over to be enslaved. I know the historical documentation. I know the Portuguese and the Spanish and the Spanish kingdom. I know what they did. I know that the Moors, as they call them, which is just another word for black. I know that the Moors, which is just another word for black, as the Europeans call them. I know that they ruled Spain and Europe. I know that the Moors, which is just another word for black folk, were the reason for the Renaissance in Europe. I know that the Moors, which is just another word for black, were the reason that the plague that scarred Europe, that killed a bunch of people, the Black Death. I know that the reason it was stopped was because the Moors, which were the black people that went into Europe, taught them how to use sanitation properly because they was using the bathroom in the street. They didn't wash up but once a month. They caused great disease to be spread throughout Europe, and it was the Dark Ages. But in Africa, as it's called, the Arabics, the Ishmaelites, the Hamites, the Israelites, they were flourishing, building communities and cities and empires and universities and all kinds of things. And the Moors went into Europe. Just another word for black. And then the Spanish Reconquest or Inquisition took place in the 1400s. I know about it. I'm aware of the history. And I know exactly what they said when they ran the Moors out of Spain and Portugal. And they ran into North Africa, Northwest Africa, and West Africa. And what did they say? They said, go get those Moors and enslave them. And that's what they did. And they brought them over to South America and Central America. I know they did that. Starting in the late 1400s, even the 1500s. Well over 400 years ago today. I know they did it. And yes, a great deal of those people could have, and most likely are, and were, Israelites. Yes, they've been over in this country, or I should say in this region of the world, before 1619. Yes, they were. But there's only one thing that sets that whole process apart from what we're talking about today. And that is the word of Yah. And that is, why didn't Brazil, why didn't Chile, why didn't Mexico, why didn't Central America, why didn't Panama, why didn't Cuba, why didn't Barbados, why didn't Trinidad and Tobago, why didn't the Bahamas, Freeport, and Nassau, why didn't Bermuda, why didn't any of these places that had so-called black people over there, brought over there by the Spanish, why did they ever commemorate and declare 400 years commemoration as the first Africans stepped on their shore? Who would have cared and who would have listened? Are they the world superpower? Are they the ones that hold the pulse of the world? Are they the ones that everybody is watching? No, they're not. So why would they even anybody care? Nobody would have cared. Nobody would have cared at all. I know there's history out there that claims that black people came over to Florida in the 1500s. The problem with that is that area, what you call Florida today, was owned by the Spanish. It wasn't owned by the English. And why does that make any difference anyway? Because it was the English, the United Kingdom, the kingdom that was before the United States, that ran these colonies, that started this transatlantic slave trade on North American shores, that it was inherited by the so-called United States. These are the major superpowers that people care about, that Yahweh know people care about, and when they make statements, it's a world statement. And whenever you think Yahweh started counting from, it don't matter where you think Yahweh started counting from, it's exactly where Yahweh said that he started counting from. And what gives us the audacity, what gives us the gall, what gives us the right to say Yahweh started counting in 1619, because that's what Yahweh showed us. And that's the truth. And let me show you a scripture. Since you want to deal with our story, a lot of people want to talk about Hebrew and Hebrew scriptures, but they don't want to deal with our story from our story. You got your story, Hebrews, right here in your hand, of the Holy Scriptures. Some of you got a Holy Bible, and it has an Old Testament, which is the Holy Scriptures. You got it right in your hand. But you're going to deny the word of God because it's, say, the King James Version. Yet, you'll go and translate a scripture and say that it's been translated into the right thing because you did it. But we're not supposed to say we ain't going to listen to the Jaquan Version. We're not going to listen to that version. That's a man. Or that's what you say about King James. That was a man. King James didn't write a lick of the Bible. King James did what any other king would have done. King James ordered that the scriptures be translated into the English language for the common folk of all of his kingdom. And he used the most well-known scholars he could find. And that was still done by Yahweh, because Yahweh ruled in the kingdom again. But let me show you a scripture. It's the book of Daniel, the first chapter. Because there's a point in this. In Daniel, the first chapter, it states, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Yehuda, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, why is that important? Because if you go to the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, I want to show you something. In the first verse of Jeremiah 25, verse 1 reads, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Yehuda, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Which, what does that mean? That means, even though it's the fourth year in Jeremiah 25, it's letting you know it was in the fourth year. It says, the word of Jeremiah, the word came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Yehuda in, which is important, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. In Daniel, the first chapter, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim. But when you read this in the Hebrew, it lets you know the 3 years after the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Yehuda, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Which means 3 years had gone by, And now, as it says in Jeremiah 25, where we're at right now, you are in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. Just like right now, we're in the third year of Yah's Sabbath year. And why is this important? Because in the third year, or in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar, his first year as king, he besieged Jerusalem. And he took Daniel and various other people into Babylon. As a matter of fact, read Ezekiel, the first chapter. You'll find that many Israelites from the kingdom of Yehuda were taken into Babylon before a certain period of time. And in Ezekiel, the first chapter, the first verse, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month." Why isn't it day? If Yahweh doesn't deal with calendar, if Yahweh doesn't deal with time. And that's what part of this discussion is today about. Our story, and how does, how do, and how did our people measure time? Because if you want to know about our story, we got to have the time right. But it says, "As I was among the captives by the river of Tabor," which is in Babylon, "that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of Elohim in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity." See, King Jehoiakim went into captivity into Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar for a period of time. He was an Israelite. But go with me back to the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. And we're back at the second verse. And it says, "The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Yehuda and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Yehuda, even unto this day, that is the 320th year of the word of Yahweh that came unto me. And I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And Yahweh has sent unto you all of his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again. Now everyone from his evil way and from the evil of his doing, and dwell in the land of Yah, that Yahweh has given you, unto your fathers, forever and ever. And go not after other deities to serve them, and to worship them, and to provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no harm." But you didn't listen. Then if you read further on down, verse 10, I should say, "Because of our disobedience, Yahweh said, moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment." Now, mind you, Daniel was already in captivity. Ezekiel was already in captivity. "And it shall come to pass, this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass that when the 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon, that nation and that nation, save God, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation." Now, what does that mean? That means there's a time limit on Babylonian captivity. Was it when Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jehoiakim went into captivity, or was it some other time? Well, brothers and sisters, it was another time. These were people that were going into captivity before Yahweh even began his count. How do I know that? Because I counted Yahweh's word. Now, if you look in the book of Jeremiah, because people want to make the argument that we went into captivity way well over 400 years. Well, did you know the children of Israel, except for the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, all went into captivity under the Assyrian rulership 125 or more years before Nebuchadnezzar? 125 more years. And then Babylon even reigned over the old kingdom of Assyria, which means what? They had rulership over the Israelites that was even in captivity under the Assyrian Empire before them. But when Cyrus said, all you that belong to Yah, go home, any Israelite was allowed home. Any. And, yes, Hebrews could have very well came over to South America, Central America, and the islands during the Spanish slave trade. And that was nearly 125 years before 1619. Yet, brothers and sisters, that's not when Yahweh began his count. And look at Jeremiah. I believe I want the 52nd chapter. In Jeremiah 52, this is when Jerusalem fell. This is when all of Jerusalem, all of Yehuda, went into captivity. Verse 4 of Jeremiah 52 says, it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, and that's Zedekiah, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came. He and all his army against Jerusalem and pitched against it, both forts against, built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. Now Zedekiah was like two or three kings after Jehoiakim. And in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled and forth out of the city by night, and by way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him unto the king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also all the princes of Yehuda in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him with chains, and carried him into Babylon, and put him in the prison till the day of his death. Now in the fifth month, in the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Zerodan, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon into Jerusalem, and burnt the house of Yahweh, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and all the houses of the great men, burned he with fire. Yes, they carried away captive all the rest of the people. We'll read that in verse 15. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor of the people and the residue of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell unto the king of Babylon, and the rest of the multitude, and from thence from that year is when the 70 years began, because Yehuda was in captivity. All Yehuda. They was in captivity. The only people that was left was just the residue. And that took 19 years. And then, as you'll read in the book of 2 Chronicles, and you know, if you just did the count that Yahweh has in the scriptures, you would know that the 7 years started with the fall of Jerusalem. Because 70 years after the fall of Jerusalem, King Cyrus reigned. And you'll see this in 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, verse 20. It says, then they that had escaped from the sword carried him away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his son until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. So from the reign of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, when he brought the rest of Jerusalem in, it was 70 years. Verse 21 says, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had joined her Shabbats, her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of Yahweh spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. They made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom. And why did he use Cyrus, king of Persia? Because Cyrus, king of Persia, was the biggest king in the world, was the largest king in the world, was the most major king in the world, had conquered the most major land in the world, the most important land in the world. He ruled over the most treasured city in the world. He ruled over the most treasured region of the world. He was the superpower. Does that sound familiar? Is anybody else that we know that is like that today? And Cyrus made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, Yahweh Elohim of heaven, given me. And he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah, Yehuda. Who is there among you of all his people? All whose people? Yahweh's people. Yahweh is Elohim. Be with him and let him go up. And did I not tell you that these kingdoms ruled over what Assyria had? And Assyria brought the 10 tribes of Israel into captivity and scattered them throughout their kingdom. But once Nebuchadnezzar ruled over their kingdom, he ruled over those people. And once Cyrus ruled over their kingdom, he ruled over those people. And Cyrus said, all of y'all people, y'all go home. Did all of y'all people go home at this time? No. But a lot of us did. And this is to prove to you that though 400 years started in 1619 on the Gregorian calendar, that doesn't mean that's the first time an Israelite came over to the Western Hemisphere. But that is when Yahweh began his count. Because just like Cyrus proclaimed 70 years later, it's time for Israel to go home. Yahweh is using another king, another ruler of a superpower, who happens to be the 45th president. Cyrus is first mentioned in the 45th chapter of Isaiah, 45 is the order of three. This is the third year. And no, you have Donald Trump, the president, the king of Babylon, proclaiming in law, in writing, that this is the 400th year of the first black person, the first African, whatever proverb or byword they call us, to step foot on these shores for the United States, for America. And they proclaimed it. And who talked about it first? Yahweh did. Thousands of years ago. You want to deny the Ancient of Days, but you can't deny him at all. You can only turn yourself into a liar. That's why it says, who has to leave our port? Yahweh told Abraham that his seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve him, and they shall afflict him 400 years. And that is exactly what has been going on. Oppression surely maketh the wise man mad. That's why I can't believe everybody that says anything just because they got information, just because they read a book, just because they can articulate a sentence, don't mean they're telling you the truth. Yahweh lets you know this in the book of Proverbs. The 8th chapter, 49th. Let me tell you. Get the right one. The 9th chapter. And this is what it says about food. And as I said in Deuteronomy 28:28, Yahweh said we'd be smited with foolishness. Just to sum it all up, this is sum up the madness, the blindness, and the astonishment of the heart. You're going to be a fool. He said, you're going to be a fool. Stone cold, cold-blooded fool. You ain't going to know nothing. You ain't going to understand a thing. You're going to be out your mind. You're going to be crazy. And in Proverbs 9 and 13, it says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Yeah, if a foolish woman is clamorous, what do you think a foolish man is? You don't know nothing. But she sitteth at the door of her house. This is what a foolish woman does. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right in all their ways. This is like, just imagine that this foolish woman is on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or whatever other social media venue you use to get information. See? You're on this foolish woman sitting here, though, and saying to all those who go right on their way, whoso is simple, which means you ain't too complicated up there. You ain't got a lot going on up there. And if you a Hebrew in America and you've been taught lies your whole life and you are under these curses, which you are, you already studied with blindness, madness, and astonishment of heart. So God's talking to you. Whoso is simple, let him turn in. This is what the foolish woman is saying. And as for him that lacketh, that wants his understanding, she say to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that their guests are in the depths of hell. So if you're simple, and we are simple, don't believe these fools standing in the way, saying, come on, this is stolen knowledge. They stole it, we stole it, it's hidden, and whatever. It's stolen. It's sweet. You can't talk about it. Too many people won't know about it. No. But this is what wisdom says in Proverbs 9 and 1. See, foolish woman is clamorous, meaning she's unorganized. She don't know nothing, but she's still trying to entice you. But this is what wisdom says. Wisdom, verse 1, Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. Now, the difference between a foolish woman and a wise woman is that a wise woman built her house. A foolish woman is clamorous. She ain't building nothing. She's making a bunch of noise. Wisdom built her house. She hewn out her seven pillars. She got pillars. She's organized. She has killed her beast. She has mingled her mind. She has also furnished her table. This order. Because she ain't blind. She ain't mad. She ain't astonished. She has sent forth her maidens. She got servants. She cries upon the highest places of the earth. Who's so simple? You are simple. I am simple. We are simple. Let him turn in hither. And as to him that lacketh, that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, it's not secret, it's not stolen, and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish. Don't go and act like a fool. And live. And go in the way of understanding. See, that's the difference. And that's what Yahweh is allowing us to see today. That's why he wants you to know about our story. So you can stop acting and being like a fool. Yahweh is teaching us the true ways of his holy scriptures. He wants you to know the story of the Hebrew. And what is part of our story? As I said, we need to know how time is done, measured, dealt with. Go to the book of Genesis, the second chapter. In the first verse, it says, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. You understand? Yahweh rested, ended his work on the seventh day, meaning he was done. He was complete. There was no more to do. He was finito. It was a wrap. It was over. What else was there to do but to relax? Yahweh rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which Elohim had created and made. Which means what? The end of something is represented in the seventh. These, verse 4, are the generations of the heavens and earth when they were created. In the day that Yahweh Elohim made the earth and the heaven, every plant of the field before it was in the earth. So Yahweh ended things in the seventh. And that was called Shabbat. Shabbat is the Hebrew word for Seth, the root word of Shabbat. Is the root word of Shabbat is Shabbat. And if Yahweh had rested, it was called a Shabbat. So the very first Sabbath or Shabbat was with Yah. And that was the marking of the end of a week. A period of time. A certain day. But look what Yahweh showed us in the midst of our story. In the book of Exodus, 16th chapter. And what are we discussing? We're discussing our story. The Hebrew story. What Yahweh wants us to see about our true history. We've been taught lies. We've been taught horrific, abominable lies. And now Yahweh is setting the crooked things straight to where we can learn the truth. The first part of this series, we dealt with an overview of our story, who we are, where we come from, this 400 years. Who else is speaking about it? And as I said, if they're talking about 400 years, you got to ask, who said anything? Why 400? Why 400? Why are they making a law about 400 years? Why are they having United Nations events about 400 years? Why are countries declaring 400 years? Where did they get 400 years from? Where in the annals of history can we find that 400 was so very important? Why not 500? That's half a thousand. Why not 250? That's half a 500. Why not 700? That's a perfect 107. Why not anything? What is this 400? Who spoke about 400? Is it in the Magna Carta, 400? Is it in the Declaration of Independence, 400? Is it in the Mayan writings on the wall? Is it in the Egyptian hieroglyphs? Where is this 400? Is it written in stone here? Who talked about it? You would have to find that Yahweh talked about it. And he's the only one that talked about it. He's the only one that gave the vision about it. So now that it's 400 years and it comes from the Holy Scriptures, well then, Dad, oh, that must be valid. Yes, it is. And Abraham seed, is these people, these Negroes in America? Yes, they are. And Yahweh wants you to know about it. And in Exodus, the 16th chapter, we're going to see how Yahweh taught our people about the Sabbath. In Exodus 16:1, it reads, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which was between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt." You should write that down. On the 15th day, not night, of the second month, which is a measurement of days. It's not a moon, because Yahweh never say the 15th day of a moon when Yahweh already told us in the first chapter of Genesis, in the fifth verse, that he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then Yahweh also in the first week made two great lights. One light to rule, master, control, govern over the day, the light. And another light to rule over the night, the darkness. And that great light that rules over the day is the sun. And that other great light that rules over the night is the moon. And the moon can't rule the day. Therefore, Yahweh would never allow his mouth and his people to say on the 15th day of the moon or any day of the moon. That is what you call madness, craziness, confusion, and disorder. Out of order. Completely out of order. Unorganized. Just stone crazy. That's not what Yahweh said. And Yahweh said, well, you'd be smited with madness. So I understand why you're doing it. But we just have to humble ourselves and say, yup, I sound crazy. The 15th day of the second month, after we came out of Egypt, meaning it ain't been a year after we came out of Egypt, It ain't been 3 months since you came out of Egypt. It's been 15 days. It's the 15th day of the second month. 15th day of the second month. Which means what? What day of the week was that? We're going to find out. Verse 2. In the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, which Elohim have we died in the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat the bread to the full, and ye have brought us forth into the wilderness, kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, not every moon, not every night, but every day, that I prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day, because I'm going to send this out, and starting on the first day, but on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much. This is the conversation Yah is having with Moses. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Daily means every day. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that Yahweh hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of Yahweh, for that he heareth your murmur against Yah. And what are we? For ye murmur against us. And Moses said, it shall be, when Yahweh shall give you in the evening, which is the evening of the day that they speak it, the 15th day, flesh to eat, and in the morning, bread to full, for that Yahweh heareth your murmur, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? The murmurings are not against us, but against Yah. Moses spake unto Abram, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Yah, for he hath heard your murmur. And it came to pass, as Abram spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that he looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking of them, saying, at evening, this evening, this exact evening of this day, that's when they talk. This is real time. At evening, ye shall eat flesh. And in the morning, which is the next day, not night, evening and morning cannot be the same thing. Evening cannot be the beginning of a day when he's going to separate them and say, at evening, ye shall have flesh. And in the morning, ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh Elohim. How in the world is the evening going to be the beginning of the day? And you're going to get flesh. And the morning is the beginning of the day. When you're going to get bread. Which one is the beginning of the day? Well, it's not the evening, but that's the end of the day. The morning is the beginning of the day. That's when the light comes out. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass that at evening, and it came to pass that at evening, the quails came up. And you know what a quail is? A quail is like a chicken, similar to a chicken, because they're in the very same family. I hear people talking about you can't eat chicken. Well, Yahweh gave us quails. Let's let you know what. You can eat chicken. Stop the madness. And that's madness. Why? Because it's crazy. Why? Because it's confusing. Why? Because it's unorganized. And what did Yahweh say he would do? Smite us with madness. How are Yahweh going to give you quails, which is just like a chicken? Man, just go to the store. Go get a quail. It's just like a chicken. Look it up on Google where you get all your other information from. Quails and chicken, same thing. Quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that was laid was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," meaning, what is it? What is it? Hey, what is it? That's what manna means. What is it? But they knew not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which Yahweh has given you to eat." Don't you know this is part of our story? You know, you'll read about Merlin and the magician. You'll read about Robin Hood. You'll read about the Sorcerer's Stone and all kind of craziness. And they admit that that's a mythology. That one got nothing to do with it. But this is real. This is what Yahweh did. Who else has Yahweh visited like this? And Yahweh said, "This is the bread which Yahweh has given unto you to eat. This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Gather up every man according to his eating." And when is this now? The evening was the evening of the 15th. Now it's the morning. The next day. So what is the date? It's the 16th. And he said, according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your person. Take every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, when they did measure it, because Yahweh wants them to measure things, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his deed. And Moses said, "Let no man leave it until the morning." Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left it until the morning, and it great worm sank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun was waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, so they gathered it on the 16th, the 17th, the 18th, the 19th, 20th, the 21st, that's the sixth day. And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. And that lets you know, you'll see, they gathered twice as much on the sixth day. Omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came into Moses. And he said unto them, "This is that which Yahweh has said. Tomorrow, the next day, is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto Yah. Bake that which ye will bake to death, and seize that which ye will seize, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning." And they laid it up until the morning as Moses did, and it did not stink. Neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today," which is the next day, "is a Sabbath unto Yah. Today ye shall not find it in the field." And what is the point? The Sabbath was the 22nd. But Yahweh began this account, this report, on the 15th of the second month. And 7 days later, it's the 22nd, which means he began this account on the Sabbath day, and 7 days later, it's the Sabbath day. Because Yahweh ends things with the Sabbath. That's the day of rest. And if the 22nd was the Sabbath day, and the 15th was the Sabbath day, 7 days before that, it was what? The eighth of the month, the second month. And that was a Sabbath day. And 7 days prior was the first, and that was the Sabbath day. And 7 days before that was the 24th of the first month, and that was a Sabbath day. And 7 days before that was the 17th of the first month, and that was a Sabbath day. 7 days before that was the 10th of the first month, and that was a Sabbath day. 7 days before that was the 3rd of the first month, and that was the Sabbath day. And why is that important? Because I read to you already Genesis, the 2nd chapter. But let's look at Genesis, the 1st chapter. And it says in verse 14, "And Yahweh Elohim said unto, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for season, and for day, and for year, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." It was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And Elohim said, "Let the firmament and let them set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and to rule over the night, and divide the light from the darkness." And Elohim saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning, the fourth day. Well, the next day was the first day of the month. That was the first, which was the fifth day. And the next day was the second of the month. That was the second, which was the sixth day of the week. And the next day was the Sabbath, the seventh day of the month. And that was the third of the week, of the month. The third day of the month. The Sabbath day, which I just showed you by counting in Yah's book. We learn about the Sabbath on the Sabbath through the manna, and it also teaches us that Yahweh only got 30 days in a month. That can only work out with 30 days in a month, 12 months in a year. This is our time, built into our story, and is dealt with and learned by the Sabbath, which is another reason I bring you to Exodus 31st chapter, the 12th verse. Yahweh deemed it so very important to know about our time, he made a covenant for it. As a matter of a fact, three covenants of the seven everlasting covenants are about measuring time. That's the Sabbath, the covenant of day, and the covenant of night. All are directly dealing with measuring time. And in Exodus 31, verse 12, it reads, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, verily not my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and thee." And why is the Sabbath day a sign? Because Yahweh gave this light for signs. So the Sabbath day is a special sign between me and thee, that ye may know throughout your generation, that ye may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you. I set you apart. That's how you're going to know me. That's how you're going to know order. That's how you're going to know non-confusion. That's how you're going to know organization. That's how you're going to know the truth. Because Yahweh don't deal in confusion. If you keep the Sabbath, you must stay in order, because you have to do what the commandment says do. In Exodus 20, verse 8, where it says, 6 days shall you labor, and you remember the Sabbath day, and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of God, not Elohim. In it, thou shall not do any work. Which means you gotta count. You gotta have some kind of order in your life. And when you start using this order, you start brushing off and breaking this curse of madness. And then you can understand that Yahweh said 400 years. Because Yahweh is an Elohim of knowledge. He has order. He will go by this order. And if he said 400 years, it is 400 years. That is our story. It's talking about the black man and woman here in America. But we got to keep this Sabbath. said, is a covenant for it. It's the third everlasting covenant. I done showed you Abraham and how Yahweh came to Abraham when he was 99 in a year after Adam, 2047, which was the third year of the Sabbath of years, when he gave us the covenant of circumcision, the first everlasting covenant. That's our story. I've showed you Yahweh separating to him a family from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 tribes, how he raised up Joseph, the age of Jacob and Joseph and the patriarch, to give us the year when we came out of Egypt, the year 2667, 430 years after we went into Egypt, and gave us the second everlasting covenant, the covenant of the Ten Commandments. There's a time attached to it. That's our story. And now I'm showing you how Yahweh has taught us how to gauge his years, his days, his week, his month by this Sabbath day, because it represents the finalization of something, the completion of something, the end of something. When Yahweh rested, and then you can mark it as it being done. You can mark it as a day once the new day has begun, because the old day is now finished. You can mark it as a new week once the sun rises on the first day, because the Sabbath has came. And Yahweh, he gave us an everlasting covenant. And we got to rest the Sabbath day and keep it holy so we can keep order with us. Because Yahweh smited us with men, but he gave us a way out. He said in the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, if we're going to know our story, then we got to know the word of God. It is only through our story where you can find the word of God. Don't you know this wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that I'm able to teach you today is sacred, it's holy, it's set apart, it's a secret to most. But Yahweh is allowing us to bring it out and not speak in dark places, nor behind walls. He's giving us the spirit to come before the world and let the world know Yahweh rules. His time is supreme. His ways are the truth. And he said to us in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the first verse, and it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and thou shalt call them into mind among all the nations where Yahweh the Elohim has driven thee, and shall return unto Yahweh thy Elohim, and shall obey his voice, according to all that I command you this day. Thou and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Brothers and sisters, we got to consider that, because we turn to Yahweh by considering our story. Yahweh gave this 400-year prophecy to Abraham, and is playing itself out in perfect concert with the word of Yah throughout the world. And the Creator has blessed us to see it. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, so do we at the house of Israel. Hallelujah and shalom.